Lover, and welcome to this space. I am just really enjoying December and the first snows, and now we're getting this warm up, which is always like sort of this dance with the seasons and of watching the snow and snow come in. And this week earlier on my Substack, I talked in the newsletter, I have a weekly newsletter I send to paid subscribers that is called How to Pay Attention this week. And it was all about the snow and how there's different types of nuances to these weather patterns that come through. Rain can be slightly different. It can be a drizzle. It can be a mist. It can be a downpour. It can be a gully washer, as they love to say. Any of those things can happen, but it still be rain. And the same is true of snow. There can be the potato chip snow, the soft, falling, unpredictable lake effect snow. There's even different types of lake effect snow, for that matter. Then there's the pellety snow, the sugar snow, it keeps going. The list is immense. Especially as a northerner living on the Great Lakes, the snow is never the same. And when I talked about this, I did it in a way where I was discussing the fact that when we notice the nuances of just even something such as the snow, it begins to let us understand that there's nuances even to our emotions and feelings as humans, that we can be happy, and happy can look like a lot of different things. It can take many different forms, but still be happy. Anger can be the same. Any of these things can have varying levels of nuances to what it means to say, I am happy, I am angry, I am frustrated. All of these things can be true. And so I utilized the snow to teach us this in a way so we could pay attention a little bit as we head closer and closer to winter solstice. And then going through winter solstice, and even with the varying weather of climate change, all these things are going to shift how we see nature. And hopefully it reverses and it changes, and you know, we can be the most hopeful. But until then, we can do nature and ourselves such a gift by just paying attention to this very simple thing. That was something I shared this week. But today, I was going through the process of like, well, I also wrote this piece on Wednesday that I've been working on for probably years. And it's called The Uninfluenced Holiday. It's getting a lot of talk. So if you want to go read it, it's different than my normal pieces because it talks about my story from the past of being an influencer, being in blogging, whatever that world is. I don't even understand. And it's really interesting being on Substack. There is so many, they call us OG bloggers. Any of us that started blogging in like 2008, 2009, all the way to, you know, 2013, 14, those are considered OG bloggers. It was like an era of bloggers that know something different. It was like pre-Instagram bloggers when we were all utilizing Twitter to talk to each other. And that's why it's so interesting to be on Substack and find all of us now here. And I realized so many I had lost contact with that I talked to all the time or saw at conferences and became good friends with. And in some way we lost touch with one another because we all took a different stance on Instagram. And that's not what the piece is about. It's more about me finding a peace and comfort with this new chapter of my life where I'm completely liberated from the fact that I have to share anything about my life. And in fact, I've learned that there's nothing that a clean countertop says anything about me, that there's no perfect tree, perfect holiday image that is going to ever qualify the value of the things that are already right in front of me. And in fact, this very thing can distract from the life that I'm living and want to live. And there's so much liberation in that. And coming to this place where understanding that it's not about people seeing a version of me or seeing, you know, images that are worthy of likes or worthy of attention because everything's perfect in such a way. It's great. Being here on this side of the tracks it's truly one of those, the grass is greener. I cannot explain it, and I'm still working on explaining it, and I'm working on understanding all the threads of consumerism and working in marketing and working in this world of consumption and perfectionism, where I felt the need to have everything look as if Martha Stewart came to my house. And whether I showed it or not, or sold it or not, it doesn't matter. It was the pressure of it on my shoulders. And being away from it is just so amazing. And I've learned, as it's been quoted in quite a few other newsletters this week, as they're doing their roundups, which is so gratifying to have other bloggers resonate with this. And just the comments have been really amazing on this piece. But it was really amazing to just kind of feel, well, the quote that keeps getting passed around is that being unworthy of a like is actually the space in which I want to live. And it's more than that, but you can find it on the piece. It's towards the very end, but this piece was free. Normally my Wednesday essay is gated, where I just give a preview, but this week I decided to make this one open and free because I really felt like it was an important part of my story, but it was also important for a lot of us to read during this time where I think social media and even just the catalogs we get are, you know, things that come in the mail, even if we're not on social media, we can, or even amongst our own neighborhoods, things like that, we can feel that pressure. But it's so good to remember that it has nothing to do with anyone other than those people that we're around the tree with or we're celebrating with that make it into that room to be there, because those people really don't care. And that's the best part. And if they really love you, they don't care. So anyways, I wrote about that, but as I was like working through a lot of stuff this week, I had been thinking a lot about my dad said over Thanksgiving, we were going around the table. He said, "I am thankful for the things I take for granted." And I don't know if he came up with that or he read it somewhere, it doesn't matter, but it's really stuck with me. And I've been thinking a lot about all the things that I take for granted. And they're like really little things. And it's not just like, oh, I have a roof over my head. It's like these tiny little things, such as like the way my dog snores, the way the sun looks behind the trees first thing in the morning. Though I'm really good about paying attention to that. But even just the way the chickens sound as they cluck up the porch and they come to find scraps for me on a cold day. But then I started writing about a recipe and cooking potato leek soup. And if potato leek soup, when you just like tell somebody, we're going to have potato leek soup tonight. I don't ever get like people just being like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about that. Never. There's never a moment that somebody says that, but it is something that this week just really, it brought to light something that I didn't expect in myself, and like this point of gratitude about alliums. And if you don't know what an allium is, that's okay. Mike didn't either. When I said that word, he was like, "What in the world is an allium?" I'm like, "Oh my God." But it's okay. He works in a different world. We still love each other. So an allium is any basically onion, garlic, shallot, anything in that family of vegetables. And they're like a bulbing, there's probably some like really scientific technical terms, but I'm just going to go with this one for just layman's terms. But I think that we greatly take them for granted. And the reason being is that I realized as a gardener, they are constantly with me. They are my constant companion. And as I was writing this piece about potato leek soup, and like, it was like the recipe we cooked that week, and it was actually like really life-giving and blah, blah, blah. And it all goes into it in the newsletter today. But I was like, and I'm going to read the reflection from it, but I was like, oh my gosh, I take alliums for granted. I take onions for granted. And it sounds so silly to say that, but it's true. As a gardener, they are ever present in my life, whether they're in my drawer from what I grew that year, or they sprout and I plant them out in the spring, or I've planted garlic in the fall, or I've left onions in the soil so they sprout in the spring for me so that they can act as protectors along with the garlic for our brassicas and kales and things like that. They are constantly there. They are always in the garden. They are always growing. And then they're always being used every single day to cook another meal. And when I think about that, I'm like, oh my gosh, these things are incredible. How special that we have this vegetable that we can take and with heat, we can conjure so many different flavors. We can pickle it. And then it's like, you know, pickled red peppers or red onions on your quick pickled red onions on your, you know, taco or whatever it might be. Like, there's all these different ways that we can take this one thing and take these cellular walls and bring something to life out of them. We can create sugary flavors. We can create something that is, you know, I don't know, very pungent. There's all sorts of things that we can do with this one tiny thing. And it made me realize how often it isn't about more. It is about taking a new perspective of the things we already have. And when I started thinking about that, I really have stepped back in it. I really like realized how much I have and how often sometimes it's just about giving it a different direction, a different way of being in order to give me something new. And it's not that I need more. I just need it maybe to add a different element to it. I don't know. It was like pretty incredible to think about. Also, these are thoughts that you just don't get when you're on Instagram all the time because your head's too full of other people's ideas and thoughts and feelings. And you're like, oh, did I keep up? So anyways, that's how it all connects. But sometimes it amazes me how something creatively just surfaces and how sometimes waiting the last minute is the best thing to do. So anyways, I'm going to read this reflection to end, and it's called Potato Leek Soup. It is in today's free Friday newsletter. You can sign up for the Substack anytime by heading to megangilger.substack.com, sharing this podcast and reviewing it, or sharing the newsletter, especially the free ones, with your friends is a great way to help support what I'm doing if you cannot become a paid subscriber or don't wish to. That is always a great way to support what I'm doing. I so appreciate your presence here. So I'm going to read this. I can smell it now as I think of making potato and leek soup in our kitchen. I pull the pot from the cupboard. It's a white Le Creuset that I love and have had for nearly a decade. I can see when the golden brown bits begin to form from the onions, which means it's time to deglaze the pan. The rhythm of when to do things told to me not by the words in a recipe, but by the chemistry of heat and veggies coming together, reminding me that cooking is as much intuition as it is about skill. In the summer, we forget the beauty of cooking slow and warm meals made of simpler ingredients. In these months, there is a mystical conjuring cooking entails in order to extract the flavors from these veggies that have seen the bite of the cold and are better for it. We must be intentional with these cooking routines that bring a rich and flavorful meal to life when the snow is coming down and the garden has fallen to sleep. In these cold months, we no longer can lean on the brightness of fresh basil or the acidic, earthy bite of a tomato straight from the branches we have cared for since April that year. In those months, everything was here except the need to work magic with heat and the limited options of late fall, early winter produce. There is a pressure to cooking in the heat of summer's abundance that is both life-giving and overwhelming at times as a gardener. But now, well, that is long gone. My counter is no longer a sea of red from the tomatoes and covered in herbs needing drying. The scents have changed, and it's time to warm up my cooking skills that root back to the basics of the best things in life. Onions and garlic being awakened, caramelized, and degraded by heat. Alliums are the veggies that never leave us as gardeners. They are always with us, whether in storage or in the soil we tend. I have come to love and find it endearing that they are a constant company in my life. So here I am again, standing over that pot, letting it warm my hands, floating above to warm as well on this cold evening. Then I splash in some olive oil after chopping the leeks into tiny circles. The pan cannot be too hot or it will burn them. It cannot be too cold or they won't extract their magnificent flavor that takes both ease and tending for a while for a while to grow and develop while they spend time in the soil. The constant hilling of the soil against their stalks that forms the white parts we love for them for. As the leeks slowly succumbed to the heat and oil, I grabbed the potatoes next, which grew in the summer and we kept the beetles from destroying. The leeks begin to brown lightly, and before adding the potatoes, the garlic goes in. The ones that I kept for eating, not for growing. The scent of earth and sautéed alliums wafts in the air as my beeswax candle flickers on the counter near me. I deglaze the pan with homemade broth from previous scraps from cooking. Once I smell the garlic, join the party. The brown parts are full of the sweetness of the alliums that will add depth to this simple soup. Finally, the potatoes go in all their waxy goodness. We could debate whether waxy or starchy ones are best here, but I prefer to split the difference and do a mix. I then add a sprig of thyme and the last of the rosemary that was still left even after a snow. The sage floats on top too. All herbs gathered by quickly slipping on snow boots to head to the kitchen garden, untucking them in the dark from beneath the snow. Finally, a good salting is given and the lid goes on. Once it all has cooked, I realize the magic that can happen from a few simple things. I'm reminded again by the earth that it isn't about how much we have in life, but how we treat it that makes it beautiful and life-giving. Enjoying that soup with bread on a cold night fills the house with the scent of those alliums we use to protect our garden from many bugs and pests all year. Eating them now, in this intentional and slow way, feels it gives them respect and gratitude for the work they did when we began the year. They serve us in so many ways, and I realize that the company of a good allium is the kind of company to keep. So, I hope you enjoy that. I hope you make some potato leek soup and enjoy it. I don't use any cream because I don't eat dairy, but it's up to you if you would like to add that. There are so many great recipes, but I highly suggest taking the time to cook the leeks properly. Leeks are much more temperamental than the cellular damp walls of an onion, but they take a little bit more finesse to cook with. But I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to slow down and take the time to extract the flavors that these things hold that they took all year to make. Because if you know anything about leeks in particular, they take so long to grow. They are very, very easy to grow in some ways and tedious in others, and they didn't take an immense amount of time. So I think it's so important to understand the things that we cook with in this way so that we have a deeper appreciation and understanding for what they offer us and give us. And many times it has nothing to do with the nutrients or flavor that they add to our cooking. Okay, my friends, I hope you have a lovely weekend. Until then, I'll see you out there.